From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, man versus woman? I don't think so. Better yet, how about man and woman? Jeanette DeMello and Sister Mary Prudence Allen, a religious sister of mercy of Alma, Michigan, discussed this week's Vatican Conference on the Complementarity of Man and Woman. After that, Dan Burke and Sister Agnes Mary Donovan of the Sisters of Life talk about the Year of Consecrated Life, which begins on November 30th. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Thanks so much for joining us. Our first guest, Sister Mary Prudence Allen, is a religious sister of mercy of Alma, Michigan. She was formerly the chair of the philosophy department at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary in Denver. She is now a part of the chaplaincy team at Lancaster University in England. In September, Sister Prudence was appointed by Pope Francis to the International Theological Commission, one of only five women on that commission. This week, she was one of the speakers at a Vatican-sponsored conference on the complementarity of man and woman.
Sister, you are very much missed in Denver, where I live and where you once lived, and I'm so glad to be talking to you again.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
I hope that you had a good conference in Rome.
We had a three-day conference, quite an extraordinary conference, really, because it had members of many different faith communities, I think 17, and from 30 different countries in the world who are presenting on marriage, what's beautiful about it and why we believe it's what God has asked it to be between one man and one woman.
Yeah, it's really neat that this conference, so it's called the Humanum Conference, or I've heard it called the Colloquy on the Complementarity of Man and Women. Sponsored by the CDF, so it's sponsored by the Vatican Congregation for Doctrine of Faith, as well as some of the other Vatican congregations.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the topic, you know, marriage has been discussed a lot lately, but it's been on all of these controversial issues related to marriage. But you have really focused in this conference on the beauty of marriage. Tell us a little bit about some of the talks that were presented.
Well, what happened is each of the people invited spoke about what marriage was like and how the complementarity of man and woman was described within marriage, within their culture or religious faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke about the Roman Catholic faith, and myself, that's really what my part was to explain what are the principles of complementarity in a Catholic Roman Catholic marriage. But we also had from Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Bruderhof, there's so many incredible Chinese, Japanese, different religions and people. And the most beautiful thing was that with all the differences in our background nationally, internationally, in faith, in every case, the beauty of marriage between a man and a woman and the family that flowed from that was very radiantly present.
Great.
And so over the 3 days, we became more and more, I think, enamored with the what we would call the fundamental truth of this.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Now, I've seen there are these wonderful videos that have been produced from this conference. I know that people can go online and find it there. Tell us about some of this these videos and what they're intended to convey to those who watch.
Well, there are two kinds of videos. There were actually 8 videos made for the program itself, so that they interspersed like each morning and afternoon the videos while we were all there listening to the conferences. I mean, we would all stop and watch one of these videos. And each of the videos took a particular aspect of marriage. For example, the protection of children would be one aspect, or the man and female, masculine, feminine, male, female relationship, what made it so special and different. Or, in one case, some cultural aspects that it tried to destroy it. But each one went with examples around the world and went in quite some depth in certain particular families that opened themselves up and really spoke beautifully in the videos. So those are like teaching videos of certain aspects of the complementarity of a man and woman in marriage. And then the second set are videos that interspersed the actual sometimes parts of being interviewed by the people running the conference. They would then put out a little video with part of the interview that you would, what you were talking about, mixed in with these incredible images from the original videos. And then, actually, there are three kinds. The third are videos of each presentation itself. And they're between 5 minutes and 20 minutes maximum. They're available to be downloaded by families, by churches, by groups, and looked at together and discussed. So they're online.
That website is what? Humanum?
Humanum. Humanum. And then that's the .it.
.it. Okay, .it.
So right, and when you go on, you'll see, you click on video, and then there are two different kinds. You can just explore around and eventually find which one you want to look at when.
Right. Well, we'll encourage our audience to do so, and we'll put that online as well. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Sister Mary Prudence. She's in Rome, has recently attended the Conference on Complementarity of Men and Women sponsored by the Vatican. Now, Sister Prudence, let's jump into the content here. You spoke about complementarity. Mm-hmm. Now, you are a philosopher, and that's a deep topic, and you've researched this in your book and in other talks. So if you would have to describe to our audience the topic of complementarity between man and woman in just a short moment, very easy for us to understand, you don't have that philosophical background, how would you describe that complementarity?
Well, what I did is I looked at how the four principles of complementarity of man and woman are revealed in the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So the first principle is the equal dignity. God created man and woman in the image of God. The second principle is significant difference. He created them male and female. The third one is what I call synergetic relation. He said, go forth and multiply, mm-hmm. and the two became one flesh. And then the fourth principle is what I call intergenerational fruition, which means grandpa, mother, dad, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, mm-hmm. that it's only the man-woman in complementary relationship that actually issues in all those generations of people.
Yeah.
So that's the first part of my paper.
Okay, and the second part.
Second part was looking at the relation between the word gender and the theme of what I call gender reality and sex identity.
Okay.
And gender reality is a something you can observe just by looking and with science. It's not like scripture, which is revealed. So what scientists have discovered is, and they from the beginning, that really every human being, with some exceptions, it's males and females for the most part are what issue from a union of a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The exceptions are always there and always will be. Organic nature has exceptions, but they do not destroy the rule that always, or for the most part, when a human being is born, it is going to be male-female and will develop into a man and a woman. The third part, I looked at what is called gender ideology, which mm-hmm. is a theory that has two parts to it that were basically promoted by Albert Kinsey and John Money, that in my view really destroy the integrity of the human being and reduce them to animal-like outlets in the case of Kinsey. And Money saw them as fragmented parts. I won't go into the technical side of these, but the fact is that gender ideology now has gone viral among some people. And it basically argues you can have 5, 10, 15, 25, and I heard mm-hmm. there's now 28 genders or something like that on Facebook. But the human being is not a whole complete entity. It's fragmented parts. Its center of integration is lost in that view. And so then the final part was I talked about particularly Catholic, amazing Catholic writers and people who have risen up to defend the male-female relationship and marriage at the same time as Money and Kinsey were moving this ideological distortion. And those are people like Dietrich von Hildebrand, Martin Buber, great Jewish writer too, and then Edith Stein, Emmanuel Mounier, and of course St. John Paul II, who did the greatest amount of work of all in drawing a completely integrated theory of man-woman and complementarity in marriage.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Sister Mary Prudence. She's in Rome, has recently attended the Conference on Complementarity of Men and Women sponsored by the Vatican. Now, what are some of the destructions that we see by these kind of gender ideologies? I think we don't think of it in those terms many times, but I know the implications of these theories are really present. What are some of those destructive ways of understanding man and woman?
Well, in my view, I named two. I mean, one is that both of these theories, and when it's promoted, are based on lies, things that are not true. the one thing that's not true is that a human being could be one of 28 genders. It's just not reality. It's something created by someone's mind. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first part. It perpetuates false statements and truths about the human being. But the second one is it always harms the innocent. Mm. Innocent children, young men and women, and adults are harmed by losing a certain confidence about how God created us. They could miss their vocation, for example, if they begin to adopt and believe that they could be any gender and all these strange combinations of sexual interactions and so on. So my main argument is that it harms innocent, especially children, in the latent period whose best friends are the same sex and whose best friends should be, and then they're nonetheless called later as they mature more into a relationship with a man and a woman.
Right.
For the most part, there are always exceptions, and these exceptions are people who do suffer, and one should never deny that or lessen that reality. But the problem is when it starts to want to become the rule and define what the human being is by using this gender ideology, it's creating a false theory which is very harmful to people.
That's right. Now, you mentioned obviously two saints who were among those who promoted a beautiful view of man and woman and the complementarity, St. John Paul II and St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, who is Edith Stein. We don't have a lot of time. We have just about a little over a minute. But can you just share some of the beauty of what they taught about this wonderful complementarity?
Well, St. Edith Stein's great sister, Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, because she was also a Carmelite nun, as well as a laywoman who lectured, she really discovered and described what the experience is of being a woman, and for man, too. What is man's? It's called phenomenology. And what John Paul II did was take that concept and develop it into the base of a woman's genius. Mm. And it basically is that in the case of woman, she ovulates from age 12, puberty, to menopause, and it creates in her a tendency to care, receive new life, and foster its growth. And she'll do that. Women tend to do this in every area of their life. And a man creates outside himself. But once he makes a decision that a child and a wife is his, he will tend to protect the child and the wife and to provide for him and her or her. And so that's what is the beauty of it. There are many more aspects, but those are just some, and very briefly, that they uncovered.
Well, we can always find more of what John Paul taught on this when, if we look at Letter to Women and Mulieris Dignitatum, those beautiful documents that he wrote. Sister, we're really out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us. I could listen to you forever and discuss these topics with you forever. We're so proud of you here in Denver. You're now on the International Theological Commission. Pope Francis appointed you to that earlier this year, so congratulations. And
thank you so much, Jeanette, and this has been a great honor to speak with you.
Well, we'll hope to talk to you again soon, Sister.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You can read an extensive interview with Sister Mary Prudence and other Humanum Conference participants at ncregister.com. When we return, we'll talk about the upcoming Year of Consecrated Life. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
I'm Brian Patrick, and here at EWTN News Nightly, we're very much aware our world is changing rapidly. The news can be so troubling, but it helps to get it in the context of Catholic teaching. That's why I encourage you to watch EWTN News Nightly and to subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register. Always faithful, in-depth coverage of crucial issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of all human life, traditional marriage, and Pope Francis, his travels, his powerful homilies, and great features like one of my favorites on St. Joseph, Provider and Protector. Subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register and watch EWTN News Nightly, the perfect combination for faithful Catholics who want the news, who want the truth.
For a free 3-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 3 free issues.
Let
let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Mother Agnes Mary Donovan, SV, was among the first group of women to respond to John Cardinal O'Connor's inspiration to found the Sisters of Life. This is a religious community dedicated to the protection and enhancement of the sacredness of human life. Founded in 1991, the Sisters of Life are a contemplative apostolic community whose primary work is prayer on behalf of vulnerable human life. Today, she'll be talking with Dan Burke about the upcoming Year of Consecrated Life, which begins on November 30th.
Mother Agnes Mary, it's great to have you with us on Register Radio.
Thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
Very excited about the organization that you've recently been appointed to lead, which is the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. Before we jump into a discussion about the celebrating the Year of Consecrated Life, could you tell our listeners a bit about the mission and work of the CMSWR?
Absolutely. The Council of Major Superiors, Dan, of Women Religious, is a conference of major superiors that was raised up in 1992. And as a conference, its members are major superiors of religious institutes in the United States. We represent communities within the United States only. There are 125 communities represented within the council. We have about 181 members because vicars or in the world, it would be presidents and vice presidents, so there's usually major superiors and her vicars and religious institutes. They are all open to be members. And the purpose of the council, really, Dan, is to provide a forum for major superiors to collaborate with each other, to bring them together. That's their peer group, you know? If they want to be with those who are doing what they're doing, it's the council that gathers them together as a group of major superiors who have similar responsibilities and similar interests and purposes. So it's a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity for superiors to find support in each other. I can tell you that ourselves as the Sisters of Life, we've benefited tremendously by the generosity of these wise and really noble women. It's the purpose of the council to provide a place for women religious to cooperate with formally in dialogue with their bishops, both as the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and with their individual bishops. And its purpose overall is really to provoke and provide a place for the flourishing of religious life in the United States. It's we're, as I said, 125 major superiors are there, and they represent 5,500 women sisters throughout the United States. And the interesting thing there, Dan, is of that 5,500, those 5,500 sisters in the U.S., about 910 of our sisters, or 17% of the sisters in the communities that are members of the council, are in initial formation.
Wow, it's amazing.
Just so healthy. It means that we have, you know, a really healthy young membership, but also the full continuum throughout our sisters in perpetual profession, you know, from mature, you know, young and mature sisters to mature women and also to those who are older and are wise members, you know.
That's exciting. It's a, there are many challenges going on in the church today.
Yeah.
And I'm always delighted to turn my attention to the work of CMSWR because in many ways I sense a renewal rising up in and through those member organizations and their the very living, vibrant faith, the great relationship with the Holy See. Now, tell me about that. You were recently in Rome, and you had meetings with the Pope. And how was what was the purpose of all that, and how did that go?
Well, it was wonderful. We spent a full week in Rome, and we the executive committee, which are four sisters who were elected by the members, went and visited about 15 of what they refer to in Rome as dicasteries, or the departments of the curia, so congregations and councils. And we met with their leadership and reported on the activities of the council and asked for their input to us also as to how we might better serve the church. And it was, they were wonderful meetings. And then I think the high point of it all, of course, was we were invited to Pope Francis's Mass at the Casa San Marta and had an opportunity as a group, all of us together, to speak with him. And actually had a delightful encounter for, I would say, probably 7 or 10 minutes, which was really exceptional for us to be able to speak of our work, to receive really his fatherly interest and encouragement and support to us and to all of the sisters that we represent.
Fantastic. This is Dan Burke with Mother Agnes Mary, who's the chair of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. Beautiful, faithful women religious congregations around the United States. Mother Agnes, tell me now a bit, let's turn our attention to this exciting proclamation for consecrated life, celebrating the year of consecrated life, and tell me a bit about what you're doing with the CMSWR as a whole to help foster vocations, and what are the different projects to get help the church in America understand that, you know, the various congregations are and what ways that they might consider religious life, that sort of thing.
Well, we have a wonderful program of activities lined up for the Year of Consecrated Life, which begins at the end of this month on the first Sunday of Advent, November 30th, and will continue through all of 2015 and into the first weeks of 2016, concluding on February 2nd, 2016. We had the enormous blessing of being supported by the Hilton Foundation, who are co-sponsoring with us several of these initiatives. And the first one, which came from many of our young sisters, these ideas, was to call for a national open house, Day with Religious. So all of the faithful are invited to meet their brothers and sisters in the local convents everywhere throughout the United States. So sisters in every diocese and in every location will be opening the doors of their convents to receive people on three different days throughout the Year of Consecrated Life. And the first one is coming up right after Christmas on February 8th. Where we will have an open house on February 8th, which is a Sunday, from 2 or, as you know, for several hours in the afternoon of that Sunday. And you can look on diocesan websites and in diocesan papers and find which convents are opening their doors. In the summer, there will be a Day to Serve with Religious, and the following next September, on the 13th, there will be an afternoon to pray with your religious sisters and brothers. So we really hope that the faithful people of God will bring their families, the young children or young adults will come just to say, you know, who are these sisters and how do they live, and spend a little bit of time with us for a visit, perhaps a tour of the convent, maybe to pray a bit with the sisters that afternoon. It will be a beautiful thing, I think.
So we have to make sure we repeat that for all of our listeners. So if there are families who have young women who are considering religious life, these are three great opportunities to engage in a setting that will be very friendly, designed for them coming. And the first one is Sunday, February 8th. So that's one of the big things to promote consecrated life. You're also going to be at the World Meeting of Families, is that right?
Absolutely. We'll have 100 of our sisters there.
Wow.
So sisters from all over the country will be converging on Philadelphia to be there to welcome our Holy Father.
Fantastic. And it'll be great. There's so many places in the United States where it's so rare to see a sister in a habit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having been in Rome and in Israel, myself, and other places, I've, and of course here at EWTN, I have this blessing of interacting with religious all the time. But it's a great opportunity for those visiting, coming to the World Meeting of Families, to interact with religious. I imagine there will be booths and things like that for different groups that they can learn more. Is that going to be the case?
Oh, absolutely, Dan. We'll have a booth, and so look up the CMSWR if you're there in Philadelphia. And our sisters also will be, four of our sisters will be on a panel speaking about how important families are to the vocations and to the recognition of a vocation in the heart of a young woman.
Wonderful. This is Dan Burke with Mother Agnes Mary, who's the chair of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious and also the Superior General of Sisters of Life. Mother Agnes, before we go, we have just a few minutes. There's a few other key initiatives that we'd love folks to pray for and keep their eyes out for. There's media initiatives with EWTN in particular, where you're partnering on a documentary series on vocational testimonies.
Yes, and what we hope to do is to create a large number of testimonials on video that can be posted and aired by way of cooperation with EWTN so that others can see how God works in the heart of a young woman and hear her stories. You know, they're fabulous stories. You know, they're great love stories, Dan, actually. So we hope that that will be a really very special initiative.
Yeah, and I think of recent time, there's been a number of women religious, you know, the former actress who was a superior of a Benedictine community.
That's right. Mother Dolores.
The Mother Dolores, that's right. And others who have come out and talked about their own journey into the sacred matrimony with God that is the life of a woman religious. And I think it's done a great deal to make our culture aware of something that just seems to be far too hidden as a norm.
I agree. So I hope that this will be a great and a very helpful initiative for young people, especially to look and to see and to just listen to these really wonderful stories.
Now, Mother, is there a good place for folks to go to find out about all of these things? Is there one? Is it the CMSWR website, or where can they go?
I would encourage them exactly to look on the CMSWR website. Just Google CMSWR, and it will come up quickly. And you will see on the homepage all of the initiatives. We'll also be starting to open a Facebook, so you might want to like the CMSWR on Facebook and on Twitter, and so that you can keep posted on the initiatives and all the activities that will be going on during the Year of Consecrated Life and join the sisters in them.
Well, we're so grateful for all that you're doing and all that the CMSWR is doing to promote religious life. It's such an important part of the kingdom of God, the work of the church, advancing the gospel. And we hope that it's an incredibly fruitful year for you. And thank you again for being with us.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Dan, for all that the Register and the EWTN do to continue to promote the beauty of religious life in our country.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for that picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.